disguise.
Hot mic. Hey, good morning, everybody. Hello. Good morning. That was a quick hello to everybody. Are you, you're just done talking? You're not here for that? Good morning. Let me get set up. You guys were so fast. Maybe say good morning again to somebody. Did you miss anyone? Somebody have a joke they can tell? There we go. Hi. Hey, welcome to Prodigal Church. This is our new digs. I like it. I don't know how you feel, but I really like it. And so after service today, take a minute, walk around. Right outside here is two really huge grass fields that our kids are going to use, that we'll use. We own this place from midnight, like 10 hours ago, till midnight tonight. So there's a million different things we can do on Sundays here. So there's a huge grass field here. There's a huge playground there. Your kids, if you check them in, they can't escape. It's Shawshank. It would take years to build a tunnel. And so, so glad you guys are here. I have some announcements I want to hit before we go. If you're new, just a little bit about us. We are Prodigal Church, and there's a picture of Rembrandt's painting. I sent you this picture, and I sent like a one pixel picture, and she fixed it. But this is a picture of the prodigal son returning home. Rembrandt captured it so perfectly. The older brother's in the back. He's grumpy, but don't worry about him right now. And this is a picture of the son who's just remorseful. He's tattered and he's just messed up. He's dirty. And this is the father embracing this kid and his filth. And that's a story that Jesus told 2,000 years ago to tell us what God is like. And in my opinion, if that is true, if that no matter what I do, and no matter where I've gone, no matter what I've done, no matter what I'm addicted to or prone to or inclined to, if I take a step in that father's direction, he comes running off the porch in mine. So his kid's excuses were many. His reasons for coming home were terrible. His excuse or his reason to come home was hunger, literal hunger, not like spiritual hunger. He's just hungry. And dad had leftovers, and that kid was embraced, and they threw a party like that. It wasn't like, go do a 12-week program, and then we'll throw a party at the end. It was like, there's already music and dancing. That's Luke 15. If you haven't read that or heard that, that's the reason that we exist. We wanted to create a place where every single person on the planet would feel like, I can be embraced here, I can be welcomed here, and not all of us are complete, just train wrecks, but even if you, that sounds funny, like you don't have to be struggling with everything under the sun to feel like prodigal is home. You can, some of us can mature in the faith to some degree, but if you're like, I'm at a -4, beautiful, welcome to Prodigal Church. Hey, next week is Easter, and that's going to happen. We got Easter egg planned, the hunt right outside here. They're planning that thing. I have nothing to do with it, but I know it's going to be good. And so come back next week for Easter. We have good news for you. There is an RSVP system, and so it's prodigaleaster.com. If you're going to join us, we would just love to know so we know how many blue chairs to set out. Aren't those cute? So if you're joining us or you're bringing kids with you, next week we're going to bring a bunch of the kids in here. It's an Easter service, so we'll watch babies up to 5 years old, but everyone else we're going to bring in here. Don't let that scare you away. You're like, oh, next week there's kids? No. But we'll have some kids in here, and then afterwards we'll all go out to the area. If you don't have kids, you can just come and watch and celebrate that. But next week we will have childcare through fifth grade. Usually it's through 5 years old. Next week through 5 years old. Usually it's through sixth grade. But so please RSVP. On your seat, there's a card that we put together. If you wouldn't mind filling that out, putting some basic info on there, and in just a couple minutes, we're going to take an offering. You'll see that come around. But we'll give you just a second. If you wouldn't mind filling that out, we won't do anything weird with it. We won't sell it to advertisers. We would just love to know you and get to know you. So cool. So we'll take an offering in just a second, but I would love to pray as we transition into the message. So Jesus, we gather around this place really because you told that story about that son who blew it and came home and was welcomed home. It was 2,000 years ago, a picture, a glimpse, the clearest picture in my opinion, Lord, of what you're like and what the Father is like, and that we would be those kinds of people. So we just invite you into the depths this morning of our lives as we explore and continue to explore this counterintuitive announcement of the gospel. Would you help with clarity? As much as we can understand, would you help us with clarity? But this morning, I just pray for all of us that the Spirit, you would confront us, and you would comfort us, and even resurrect us in some way. In Jesus' name, amen.
A bit about me, like 30 seconds worth if you're new. I thought that Christianity was a sham. So if you're here and you think the same, sweet, I'm glad you're here. But I thought this was all kind of a joke growing up. And at 21 years old, wrestled with it to the degree about a year later, I went, oh, shoot, it's true. And I didn't want it to be true because I loved Mill Avenue and Scottsdale Road and not being married. I liked all those things for a lot of reasons. And then it was just this train wreck of, that's the second time I've used the word train wreck in two different ways, but I felt like I got hit by a train when the reality of this good news hit me, and I became an intern at a church, and I thought I'd just go make a bunch of money and give a bunch of money to the church. Instead, I decided the opposite. I became a pastor somehow, or a director, that church called me. Same thing. But I remember thinking early on, this has got to be a joke. You poor, sad sheep that are being duped by all these, like, super fancy pastors and their fancy talk, and then, darn it, here I am. 18 years later, I'm a pastor. Because I've been just wrecked by this good news. I want to go to Matthew 5 with you again. Get used to that phrase. Matthew 5, hopefully you can read. We're playing with stuff. We're figuring out what works and lighting and stuff. Check this out. This is a fun inside tip. Before you got here, Justin Collins was on the roof. He's always on roofs. He does that for a living. But he was up here, and we snuck up there. Because we're prodigal church, and we snuck up there because that's not a light. That's the sun shining through a hole in the ceiling, and we left this one so that I had, like, a Shekinah glow. So I was like, leave the holy one. But there's 8 of them that are covered. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I just wanted you to know the extent that there's garbage bags on top of the roof covering 8 huge holes. Otherwise, in here, it's like tractor beams bright, and so anyways, so I'm not going to be distracted. So hopefully you can read. There's a reason it's a little dim. It was either dim or So Jesus is standing up in front of what I love to call just a mishmash of humanity, and he's teaching. There's really religious people, there's really not religious people, there's really well-behaved people, and there's really not well-behaved people, there's really rich people, and there's really poor people, and they've all gathered around to hear this teaching, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but I'm going to be in 5. Verse 1 real quick. It says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside for good acoustics and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And he said this is the Beatitudes. Blessed, that means fortunate, or it even means happy. There's good news. It's like congratulations to the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we're going to come back to that, not today. Blessed are the meek, for they're inheriting everything. They will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So verse 3 is like the zeros, the broken, the outcasts, those without what Dallas Willard calls even a wisp of religion. They're blessed. Verse 4, like we'll come back to. Verse 5 we covered last week, and it's this fear that we all have, the meek, the lowly, the poor. They don't have anything and they're not getting anything. We all wrestle with that. Am I going to get my slice of the pie? And Jesus says to those people in those fears, calm down. Blessed are you when you're terrified that you're not going to get your slice of the pie. It's so counterintuitive. And then verse 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst, these words mean to ache, to desire, to crave this righteousness. And so what is righteousness? Maybe you right away thought right standing with God. Like, Jesus followed a long Jewish tradition, though. And this word righteousness would have, in people's minds in that day, would have brought this idea. Maybe you've heard of shalom. Shalom, it's even a greeting. Shalom, it's good to see you. Shalom. Shalom is this word that means peace. So this idea that he's saying is that you are in these situations at the same time also blessed, and this righteousness that you're seeking, this shalom, this peace that has, like, everything in its right place. Is your life like that right now? Is everything in its right place? That's righteousness. Everything's in its right place. Between you and God, everything is in its right place. Between you and other people, that's what it means. Shalom is between you and God, you and other people, between you and you. Shalom is this, everything's in its right place with me. And there's an ache forming right here. There's an ache right there. Even the earth, this would have totally meant between us and the planet. Shalom is this perfect peace between us and God, us and each other, us and us, us and the earth. And sometimes the hunger is like huge. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, shalom. And maybe you think of like, gosh, watch the news. Like maybe your hunger is like no more nuclear weapons. Like blessed are you when you seek, you hunger, you're thirsting for a day when there are no more bombs to drop on the people we're scared of. Maybe that's something you ache for. Maybe it's mass shootings. That righteousness, that shalom, that desire that there would not be another headline on another day at another place that you ache and you crave a day. That's in you, right? You see it and you go, oh, another headline, and you ache and you crave. You're still maybe even able to ache and crave about that. Does that make sense? Like sometimes we read it and it's just another thing. But maybe for you it's something huge like a career or a future. Or a relationship. I feel this. Like if you see a relationship, maybe it's your own or someone you know and love, and you watch a relationship start to like fall apart and deteriorate, and you watch two people who were doing well, and you watch as separation starts to come into the picture, and you, ugh, I wish they weren't going through that. That is hungering and thirsting for shalom. It's you watching something, maybe it's just you. It's you feeling something that you wish wasn't true about you. Like we all have that. We all have that thing, this inclination or temptation, this secret that we don't want to have in our life. You want it. You hunger. You thirst. You're real. The raw, real human you just goes, oh, I don't want this. Very, very, very few of us are like, I love depravity. I love my wickedness. Tell you a story someday. I did hit that point where I realized I didn't care about a soul. I was 20 years old and I had this like epiphany of self, just righteousness. Just I don't care about anyone. That's sad. Most of us are, I want to grow. I want to change. I'm hungering and thirsting for a different way. And I love that Jesus uses hunger and thirst. He didn't use really lofty spiritual words. He got like physical and like visceral. I can feel this in my bones. I feel it. I felt it this week. My boy Griffin is like a stud. He's future prom king, hoping for the NFL. This is he's a handsome little devil, and that's scary. He's already like ripped, and he's 8. And I'm like, well, how'd you do that? But big kids at his school picked on him. Like sixth grade kids called him names. I threw it on Instagram. I won't tell you what it was. But they were like calling my boy names. And you know what this is like. Have you ever seen someone get picked on? Has it ever been your kid? I hunger, and I felt some other things too. But it also broke my heart going, oh, watching someone get mistreated, ignore the like, I still have to grow in Christ anger that I felt. Like, I'm gonna punch a kid. I didn't know I could feel that. Like, I'm gonna drop kick a sixth grader. I'm just kidding if you're tuning in to the podcast. It's a joke in the room. You realize what you're capable of when your kids get hurt, though. But it was the heartbreak of like, oh, I wish the playground wasn't this savage little petri dish of humanity. I wish that my kid could just, you know why they were picking on him anyways? He's better than them. I'm sure whatever they were doing, he was dominating, and they were like, oh. But whatever. Another point. I don't need therapy at all. It's the heartbreak of it. So what does Jesus say about this heartbreak and this hunger and this thirst? He says, you're blessed. You will be filled. He's saying, I'm with you in that. Like before it's resolved, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. He is saying, I'm with you. I'm on your side. I'm in your corner. I, in that tension, in that ache, in that desire, in that longing, in that hunger, in that absence of what you want and need, he's saying, I'm in that lack. I am with you. When your body, like physically, craves shalom, he just says, I'm with you. He gives an announcement. I'm with you. I mean, it sounds backwards and it sounds counterintuitive, but he just gives an announcement, not advice, not steps, not, oh, that is not a good situation to be in. Here are six steps to success. He could have written a book in this moment for all of these blessed are the hungry and thirsty people. He could have, here's how to quench that deep thirst. In this moment, he goes, no, I don't have a nice teaching for you. I don't have a self-help book for you. I don't have any facts for you. Here's not a blog you should read. It's an announcement to people who in this moment were experiencing hunger and thirst. And he says to them, I'm with you. You'll be filled in this moment, in this lack, in this absence, in this ache, in this pain, in this what is going on. I'm with you. I'm with you. You are blessed in this moment. This is for that mishmash crowd and maybe a few of you today going through something where you're going, I don't get it. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. You're right. It doesn't. And I wanted to read into this my American sort of Christianity and go, well, how do I hunger and thirst? I need to starve myself so that I feel some sort of, it's not an achievement. It's not something you go after. We keep saying that. I read a commentary this week that said this is the most demanding of the Beatitudes. And I read it and went, what? That guy got a book deal? That's not what he's talking about. Like as though I have to now achieve hunger and thirst for shalom. I have to position myself. I have to do something. I have to feel something, think something, achieve something. It's another law. It's another hoop to jump through. It's another list of things I've got to do to finally be in the right place. And Jesus says, you're in the wrong place right now, and I'm with you, even in the wrong place. Stop trying to jump through hoops to get to me. I'm sitting with you right in this hunger, in this thirst. Stop trying harder. Stop starving yourself to feel something. There are no hoops to jump through. All I have for you is an announcement that God's blessing is for everyone who doesn't have it all together. This is for all of us that haven't fixed all the stuff. This is for all of us that don't measure up to whatever someone or ourselves has said is success. It says for all those who hunger for a different world, they will be filled, they will be satisfied, they will be blessed. And your brain probably went, right, in heaven. Like someday. And that's not the announcement. Your brain is like, 2,000 years ago, Jesus just had some like really good news for like 3,000 years from now. Can you imagine that? Like if Jesus showed up on the scene in 2,000 years ago, the best he could do to real hunger and real thirst and real brokenness and real pain is go, you guys, it's going to just suck for a few thousand years. I mean, it's just going to be terrible. But you guys, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And when you get there, then I'll be with you. But I'm going to be busy for a while. Can you imagine that? That's not good news. That's not helpful. It's not helpful for Jesus to say it's going to be terrible for like thousands of years. And then I'm going to fix it. Like to people that were really hurting, did he really have nothing to offer? I mean, to these folks that were hungering and thirsting and going through things, to have this rabbi say that God is with you and for you and on your team in this hurt and in this pain, and he can satisfy you even in the midst of that. This idea that God blesses the absence and the longing and the craving. Like you're like, no, God blesses people with boats and no longings and cravings because they're just full. Now, Jesus, he says this to those folks. He's saying, I don't have an announcement for you today. I have an announcement for these people in the midst of this longing and this hunger and this thirst for shalom. I'm going to fill them up. The first one that ruined it for me was an author named Shane Claiborne. The first one that gave me, then sort of initiated this, an author named Shane Claiborne. Is anyone in our room? I just blessed you. Go find Shane Claiborne on Amazon and go purchase his book, The Irresistible Revolution, and you, my friend, will be ruined too. It is simply a picture of God's heart for the poor and the oppressed and people that don't have anything. And I read that book and said, I can't be a Christian. The way I thought it was, I want everything he just described. I want shalom for people that don't have food and protection. I want shalom for single moms. I want shalom for the folks that are just struggling. I want them to experience it. Malawi, Africa ruined it for me as well. I went there and went, oh man, there's folk, you know, we don't need a Sarah McLachlan song to play in the background right now to make you sad, but it ruined it for me. Just to go there and to watch amazing, beautiful, wonderful people dancing and singing and celebrating, and they're intelligent and funny. They just so happen to have almost no money. And So their school is actually a hospital. It's actually not just a school or a hospital. It's a community center. It's not just a school or a hospital, a community center. It's a safe place. It's not just, and it made me come back to America and just see, it just ruined me. I just didn't care about so many things that we're supposed to care about because I went, the world is not as it should be, and my heart breaks, and Jesus sees this world, and, you know, he sees there's a new Instagram account about preachers and sneakers, and that's ruined me a little bit because it's pictures of preachers wearing $4,000 sneakers on stage, and I'm like, I'm not judging you, but shalom. God, shalom, do your sneaker thing, but man, your heart is, I have a book for you and a plane ticket, because man, this room, Monday through Friday, is filled with hunger and thirst. It's God planting a seed in people's hearts, just going, there are hundreds of kids in this area who, if they don't have anything to do from 3 to 7, are going to find something to do. So let's build an incredible community center and let them come in here for free. And let's find adults who will come in and just walk alongside them once a week. Let's tutor them. Let's take them to water parks, too, because they're kids. And I think I want to go, too. Let's do all the things that they need, because if we don't, our hearts are going to break for hunger and thirst. So how perfect is that we get to meet here on Sundays? I'm just going to keep inviting you back here on Mondays too, and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, because I've just been ruined. When your eyes are open to what could be, when you taste a little bit of that shalom, and when you feel that sense of, even in the ache and even in the longing and even in the not yet, you feel the sense of God with you. When you see what should be, when you hunger and thirst for more than food and drink, when you get to see this, you're blessed. When your heart breaks for what breaks God's heart, even in that heartbreak before it's fixed, Jesus says, I'm with you. I will fill you. You're satisfied. Even in this moment, before you even change your behavior, I can bless even this mess that you're in. I can bless that. You are blessed. Congratulations. Even in the crappy situations, I'm sitting here with you. I'm here with you in the frustration, in the anger, in the lack, in the where did he go, in the where did she go, in the judgment, in the awkward holidays, in all of these things. He says, I'm with you. If you don't have it all together, I'm with you. What the heck just happened? Someone hit the switch. Griffin, well, we're going to have lights on for the rest of the day because we're a church plant, and that's just how it goes. So podcast listeners, it got real bright just now. So this is the gospel, the blessing and the love and the acceptance that comes in this moment to this mishmash bunch of ragamuffins from Jesus. That's the gospel. This is the good news that he's with us. And his blessing isn't withheld from us until we get our crap together. He's with us. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst personally, socially, worldwide. I'm in that ache. I'm in that. Can you feel that? I feel that. I'm with you in that. Next week, we're going to go to John 11 for Easter, and you're going to see Jesus, even his heart breaks, even when he has the magic wand. And he has the, I can fix this. He's weep. You'll see next. I'm not going to tell you my sermon next week. So enough of this, get it all together thing. Let me just close. I hate when pastors say that. I'm going to go to the book of Habakkuk, and I'm going to give you an hour to get there, because I'm sure if you have your Bible, just good luck finding it. Habakkuk, you probably spent your morning in Habakkuk. Habakkuk, it's right after Nahum. Look at, it's real small, so I just said Zephaniah because I wasn't careful. Watch this. This is in the Bible. This is pre-Jesus on the scene. This is Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Verse 1, the prophecy that Habakkuk, the prophet, received. Watch this. Let this give you permission to be a human. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? He's talking to God. Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounding. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. The wicked come in and screw it up at the last second is what he just said. They perverted justice. We had a chance and they came in and they messed it up. How long are you going to watch? That's what he's saying. He's shaking his fist at the heavens going, where are you? What's happening? And if you grew up with victorious Jesus, all things are possible. I can do all things at all times in all places because whatever, that God. I know that verse is in here, but then so is Habakkuk giving you permission to maybe ignore that guy shouting that the tomb is empty, so act like it forever. It's empty, so act like it forever. It's empty, so act like it forever. Like, rejoice always is another tough one for me, but that's sort of a Ned Flanders version of Christianity that I've never really been able, that's from The Simpsons, if you don't know what that is, where have you been? Then there's like real life, like Ned Flanders is a cartoon, and it should be this fake sort of, I'm always in a good mood, and I'm never upset, nothing's ever wrong. But then there's like real life, real emotions, real pain, real questions, real doubts, real anger, real shaking my fist at the heavens, and God in the Bible and in your life makes room for it. Like your full humanity. The fullness of your range of emotions. Let's say it this way. It's okay to have a Habakkuk day. Or like a Habakkuk week. Let's just keep going. Maybe you're in a Habakkuk month. Is this just a Habakkuk season? And you're just asking, I'm overwhelmed. Where are you? And I'm overwhelmed by hunger for it to change. And Jesus blesses even the absence, not the presence. He blesses even the longing that Habakkuk and you and I have, not the achievement that it's all over. He speaks to the despair, and he meets us there. This is Jesus on the scene announcing, even when it's just terrible, I'm with you. I feel this. I'm in your corner. Does anyone need to hear that? Because sometimes we go, it's so hard right now. I'm being punished, aren't I? I'm being punished. And this is Jesus speaking to the mishmash and you and I, to the most honest parts of us, even when it hurts, I'm here with you. And so I have to just ask, are you comfortable with that kind of honesty in your relationship with God? Or the lack thereof, even in the midst of like, I don't even know if I have a relationship with God. He's like, yes, you do. I'm with you. Even in your like, I kind of hate you. I've got room for that. Even when you're, I think I'm done with this. Jesus shows up and goes, I'm with you. I'm never going to move. I'm right here. And you might have really good reasons to be frustrated and sad and angry and broken and distant. And I get it. And he's just going to say, all right, I have room for that. I can make room for that. It's this raw, honest, gritty, non-sexy Christianity that I just can't unsee. It's this, I'm with you. It's a mess, I know, and it breaks my heart too. I'm with you. I know, maybe it's crazy. It's upside down. It's countercultural. It's backwards. I get it. I'm with you. These are the people that I'm most drawn to. It's the ones that, like, I have a hard time sometimes with, like, K-Love and Air One. God bless them. They're doing their thing and lives are changing. But, like, most songs that pop on are, like, shiny, happy people holding hands. That's R.E.M. But it's the same sort of thing. I'm just like, gosh, is anyone else's life, like, characterized by ache and hunger and desire for more? And sometimes it's like, oh, I took a step forward and now I'm 40 steps back. And Jesus says, even in that despair, even in that what in the world, I'm with you. That's why the best, like, artists and musicians are the ones that are the most raw and the most honest, because that's who speaks to me. I connect with people in there, like, I want more. The people that have it all, God bless them, but I get the thing. But for me, I really connect with folks that the honest, raw, real life stuff comes out, and they don't polish and make it pretty. And so you don't know, like, 90% of the people in this room, and we're trying to create a community where it's like, hey, we want to be known and know each other. We're going to take steps to create so much more than like a Sunday gathering. Because if you can't be surrounded by people who, even when your life is just a shamble, it's just a mess, and they can't put on this sort of flesh and blood for you, this isn't going to work. Like the folks that, like Jesus, when he shows up to the mishmash, literally shows up to the mishmash, he's with them. Like, this is what we need too. I need people to look at me and go, you don't have to be okay today. Maybe you have great days, 9 out of 10, go you. But maybe if there's that 1 or 2 or 500 where you're having Habakkuk season, that's okay. And it's not proof of God's distance or his absence. Jesus came on the scene and said, no, I'm in the midst of that. I promise you each and every day. That's good news. I want to sing one more song with Matt. And then when we're done, just look around. This is home. And if you're just checking us out, maybe you got a little card and you don't know who we are. We passed out a bunch of flyers in the hood and in the neighborhood here. And But just look around and take a look and step out of your skin a little bit. I'm coaching you before you go to not hit the evacuation button and run away, because let's get to know each other. But Matt's going to come up in a second. Let me pray as we close. So, Jesus, some of us are achievers and conquerors and all thingsers, and some of us are not. And to those of us that are still in the ache and the hunger and the craving for a world that is as it's intended to be, those of us that are hungering and aching and craving a life, our own life, for it to be as it's intended to be, even in the absence, even in the ache, even in the craving and the longing, and even in the where is it, you say, I'm here, I'm with you. That's the good news. You are blessed, because even in that, I will fill you. And we want to fill ourselves up and fix it and take shortcuts and do all sorts of things to eliminate the ache and to silence that pain and to do all the things that we want to meet these legitimate needs in all these illegitimate ways. And we just pray that you today give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and just a sense of your nearness, even in our aching and longing, our hunger and our thirst for shalom with you and with our friends and with our neighbors and with our family, with our coworkers and with our politicians and with all the mishmash mess of this world. You say, I'm with you. That's the announcement. There may be things to do, but today the announcement is that you are with us. And so we just sit on that. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.